Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
While you're taking a break from sports, KSON is putting you on the road to Stagecoach 8 times every weekday, thanks to your San Diego County Toyota dealers and Cox Communications. Ready for 3 days of live country music in the desert? Sign up now at KSON.com.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Cantara Show.
Doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Cantara, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, we dive into that third hour of the program. Brayden, it's amazing how quickly this program goes. It really
flies by. It flies by. Today seems like it's even faster than yesterday.
Yeah, and hopefully you got an opportunity to hear our Craig Stammen interview at 1:35. You already put that up on the website?
No.
Okay, it'll be going up on our website here shortly at 97.3 The Fan SD. I think if you're a big Padre fan and a Craig Stammen fan in particular, I think you'll really enjoy the interview. We got a very big hour number three coming up here at 2:15. We're going to go down to Houston because Brandon Scott from Sports Radio 610 in Houston, he was at the press conference today in Florida, actually. So he'll give us his thoughts on what Jim Crane and Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman and all the participants in 2017 had to say to the media. And their response was not very good. And they're getting beat up once again in the media all over nationally right now. And I'll look forward a little bit later on to when I go home and decompress and watch a little of the MLB Network to hear what they're having to say. Also coming up at 2:35, excited about having Brian Campbell on. Brian Campbell from CBS Sports going to talk to us about the big fight tomorrow night, Brayden. That ought to be a good one. I know last week we were giving away tickets for it. Should be a big fight up there at the Honda Center. There are going to be 8 bouts tomorrow night. You got 21-year-old Ryan Garcia, 19-0 with 16 knockouts, going against 25-year-old Francisco Fonseca, who checks in at 25-2-2. Should be a heck of a fight tomorrow night. Ryan Garcia, a kid who's from Victorville, California. We're going to get to phone calls this hour as well. Our phone number at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973, and also Michael McDonough. Michael McDonough, Brayden, called in. So 5 out of our last 7 days, our biggest fan has called in. So we're batting pretty good right now, my friend.
We are. We are batting pretty well right now.
Okay, I want to get to the Lakers here a little bit. Because, you saw it on my phone last night. It'd pop up and tell me the score. They were down by 3 at the end of the first quarter.
You kept giving me quarter updates.
I kept giving you quarter updates.
And I kept responding you with what Will Galvez was probably thinking. Because it was exciting, exciting, exciting. And probably till the final score update that you gave for Will. Poor Will. He got shredded by Tony on Twitter last night.
Oh, did he?
Oh, Tony immediately tweeted at him.
Well, that was a hell of a basketball game, though. You know, I saw some highlights when I got home. I got in. Wife was in bed. She was sleeping downstairs last night because I had to, you know, bring all my junk in from the car. And so she slept downstairs. I went upstairs and, you know, took care of my suit and put some warm-up clothes on, went down to my office and started writing down all the notes on the game. I mean, that was a hell of a basketball game last night. I'm sure a lot of people watched it. It was the Lakers' last game before the All-Star break. They won it 120-116 in overtime. Both teams last night really shot the ball well. The Lakers, 50.5% from the field, and Denver, even 50% from the field. Lakers were awful again last night. And I hope this is not an ongoing issue with the Lake Show. But last night, once again, only 14-27 from the charity stripe. And Anthony Davis really bailed him out in the overtime. He hit 2 3-pointers. He ended up with 33 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. And how about LeBron last night? Another triple-double. He ended up with 32 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists. Dwight Howard, who I was talking about, who's going to be in the slam dunk contest on Saturday night, This guy has been unbelievable this year. He came off the bench and played 30 minutes last night. He had 14 points on 4 of 6 shooting. He's awful at the free throw line. He was only 4 for 12 last night, but he had 11 rebounds in the ball game. And another guy, that a couple other guys have played big parts in this ball game last night, were Alex Caruso. He played 22 minutes. Twitter was blowing up on Caruso last night, because he wasn't playing in the third quarter, and he played really well, and he comes in the fourth in overtime, is fantastic. He ended up with 10 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. Laker fans, Braden, love Alex Caruso.
They do. They do love Alex Caruso. But the Lakers, by the way, holding off the Nuggets right there. You have a 4-game lead in the Western Conference standings.
Aren't they up 5 games in the loss column, though?
Games back is 4. 5 games in the loss column is correct.
Yeah, 5 games in the loss column. And the Clippers, they play tonight. They are going to be at TD Garden after getting beat up the other night by the Philadelphia 76ers. They're playing their final game tonight. And the Clippers have not been a good team on the road at all this year.
No, they haven't. They're 15-12 on the road, 4.5 games out of behind the Lakers in first place in the Western Conference. You know, as they standings slowly start to matter a little bit more and more as you approach the All-Star game.
You know, I know we have Laker fans out there, and I know we have Clipper fans out there, and I know we got, you know, Denver fans, and on and on.
Will's the only Denver fan. Let's not get carried away.
There may be a few Denver fans. There are a lot of people from Denver that are moved to America's finest city. But I'd like to hear from the Laker fans right now. And I was thinking about this last night. Lakers sitting at 41-12. Now, think about this, Braden. The Lakers right now have the best record in the NBA on the road. They're 23-5. You know that they have not lost to a Western Conference team outside of Staples Center this year, because that one loss, two losses.
Lost the Clippers.
One was a home game, but that first game of the year was a road game because they were playing the Clippers. They have not lost to a Western Conference team outside of Staples Center this season so far. Hey, we knew the Lakers were going to be good, but I don't think anybody thought they were going to be this good this soon.
That's a pretty remarkable stat right there. I'm not as surprised. They got a lot of good players on their team.
They got a lot of good players, and they seem to be able to rise to the occasion a little bit.
Yeah, they play well together, and they've had a lot of time to grow together over the last handful of weeks or so, and it hasn't seemed to faze him yet. So
the other guy that I thought, and he didn't get a lot of credit because he didn't score a ton last night, but I thought Kentavious Caldwell-Pope played real well last night. 9 points. He had 1 assist, but he also had 4 steals in the ballgame. And he had a key steal there in the overtime. Kuzma last night, boy, he didn't have a good game. He only played 16 minutes, Kyle Kuzma, last night. He was 1 for 4. He had a rebound and 3 assists. And the guy that had played really well in their prior game, Rajon Rondo, he's been all over the road map this year. He played 14 minutes last night and had only 2 points, only had 2 field goal attempts. But the Lakers, now they can get a little time off. And think about that ball club. And LeBron and Anthony Davis going, they're going to play and go all the festivities. Dwight Howard's going. But, you know, Frank Vogel, he's going to be coaching, by the way. This is a tough go for the Lakers. And I'm sure a lot of the players right now are really looking to get away from the bright lights after everything that's gone on with the tragedy up there.
I'm sure they want to kind of – it's a good time for them to – kind of decompress and kind of relax and get ready for the second half of the season, which they'll be in action February 21st as they host Memphis as they start a 3-game homestand, if you will.
Hey, right now, because I don't have the standings in front of me, going into tonight's game, the Clippers, how many games back are they?
4.5.
4.5 right now?
Yes.
So they dropped that game tonight. They're 5 full games back with 29 games to play. I know the Lakers have 29 to play.
Yeah, well.
That's a lot of 5 games, a lot to make up.
They got a lot of success against the Lakers, though.
You know, I wanted to bring up a point because he's a friend of mine, George Horton, former head coach of Cal State Fullerton and University of Oregon. I read a great article over the weekend. He left Oregon. They parted ways after he got that program restarted, and he's back in Southern California. And he was a good friend of John Altobelli. He's the man that he and his wife and daughter passed away. is coming out of retirement. He was going to take the year off and probably try to get another Division I job. But he got a phone call from a couple of the guys on the coaching staff at Orange Coast College, and George is going to come out and volunteer his time. And George Horton's one of the best college baseball coaches out there. And so, you know, I just wanted to mention that. George could have sat at home and gone played with his grandkids, do whatever, but he's going to come out and help that Orange Coast program this year. And I think that's absolutely wonderful. And all those young men will learn a lot from him. And by the way, J.J. Altobelli, the son of John Altobelli, Red Sox scout, he actually played at the University of Oregon for Coach Horton. When we come back, we're going to go and get a report from our man Brandon Scott, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. He was there. He's going to be tell us firsthand about Jim Crane, Altuve, Bregman, and the whole crew when we return on the John Quintero Show right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. The time, going to the top of the hour. Gwen and Chris, both Chris and Tony will be here today. And I want to remind everyone, do you love dogs? Well, so do we. The City of Santee and 97.3 The Fan present the 5th Annual Fido Fest, presented by Subaru of El Cajon, My Fury Valentine Edition, on Saturday, February 15th. This fun-filled day is an opportunity for dogs and dog lovers. Tail wagging good time. We'll have all sorts of activities for both dogs and humans, such as agility and training demonstrations, off-leash play area, doggy pool area, dog adoptions, giveaways, live music, beer garden contests, doggy cakewalk, doggy cool zone, vaccinations, and microchipping, food trucks, face painting education, shopping, and 80-plus vendors. It's this week at Subaru of El Cajon, presented by them, and it should be a good time out there as we celebrate Valentine's weekend. We're going to head out right now to our SDCCU hotline. A man who's been very, very busy today down in the state of Florida covering the Houston Astro press conference. Brandon Scott from Sports Radio 610 joins us on 97.3 The Fan. Well, you've logged a few miles today, my friend.
Yeah, man, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm tired, but yeah, working on fumes, but this is the job. So here we are.
Hey, Brandon, you know, we played some of the sound bites from Jim Crane a little bit earlier on in the press conference. First of all, how many media members would you expect? What would be your estimated guess that showed up for this today?
Oh, my God. I mean, basically everyone who's anyone, every piece of media that cares about baseball, I would say. If you go particularly our local market and then the national. So, I mean, I couldn't give you a number, but there's nobody, there's no media outlet that covers baseball that was not here. I mean, earlier in the week, I saw Jeff Passan from ESPN doing live shots on like Monday before we even got here. And he's here now. MLB Network, of course, is here. Everyone is here. This is the focus, the conversation, certainly in baseball and for right now in sports.
Brandon Scott, Sports Radio 610 in Houston, one of our sister stations, nice enough to join us on 97.3 The Fan. You know, I had said, Brandon, I thought when they held this press conference that there would be not only baseball people there, people that cover baseball, you know, regularly on a daily basis, but there'd also be general media, you know, some of the national stations just sending news people down there. Did you see any of them there today?
I'll say this, not that I noted, but I can tell you some of the questioning did seem to, it did seem to derive from maybe somewhere other than sports. Like there was one question about, well, what do you say about what cheating means for like the larger society? And there was a guy asking that question to a couple of people, both Jim Crane and to the players in the locker room. So you definitely got that feel. Like I didn't see a CNN logo or emblem or NBC or anything like that, but it's certainly not out of the question because it does speak to some possibly to some larger issues.
You know, Brandon, they've had a few weeks to try to, you know, come up with a story. And, I mean, you cover these guys on a regular basis. And, you know, I don't even know how I'd feel if this happened to the Padres. But, you know, when you're sitting there listening to Jim Crane and the players that talked today, what was your reaction?
Well, let's be frank about it. I mean, this was a public relations setup. This was orchestrated. This was carefully crafted. And to that point, it's kind of unfortunate that it didn't work out necessarily the way that they wanted it to. I got the impression, for the most part, that the players were sincere. I can just tell you, going into this thing, the biggest thing that I wanted to see was who was going to show sincerity. Who's here just going through the motions and doing it because they were forced to, and who actually is contrite? And I only really got that sense from Carlos Correa. There was a little bit of that, it seemed like, from Josh Reddick, who's not necessarily one of the star players on the team. But when you listen to Jim Crane, no disrespect to Jim Crane, but it just seems like this was something that they felt like they had to do. It felt like a little bit of grandstanding. I'm not saying that he wasn't sincere, but it didn't come off as the most sincere apology. And, you know, when you listen to that clip about whether it affected the game, I mean, it obviously affected the game. That's why we're here. That's why we did this. Why even do this if it was not going to give you a competitive advantage? That just doesn't even hold up logically. So for him to fumble that answer and to not answer it, again, like the way Carlos Correa did, he straight up said, hey, man, we affected careers and possibly the game in some way. So for him not to be able to acknowledge that was a bit unfortunate, considering how much time they had to prepare for this moment.
You know, Brandon, we're visiting with Brandon Scott. He covers the Houston Astros for Sports Radio 610 down there in Houston. He's down in Florida, was at the Astros press conference today. I look at Jim Crane, even when he hired Dusty Baker, who I'm a big fan of,
right.
He just looks like a really smug, almost out-of-touch type owner to me.
I mean, I think that's probably a fair assessment. You know, Jim Crane, even coming into the league when he bought the team, you know, what was it, going on 6-7 years ago when he bought the team, there were issues and reports and rumblings about his outside business, a business that got him here, Crane Freightline Services, and his hiring practices and how people were treated and things of that nature. Like, he didn't necessarily come into baseball with the best reputation. And then he goes and hires Jeff Luhnow, who has a tremendous amount of respect for, like, his ability as a general manager, but the way he dealt with people and the way the Astros have historically dealt with people, that's alluded to in the report that the commissioner put out, it's not been good. And so I can't help but to believe that trickles down and has to start from somewhere. Jim Crane doesn't seem like a bad guy, but that smug, we're a little bit better than you, kind of, you do get that vibe off of him, even if he doesn't so much tell you.
Hey, Brandon, you know, we can play sound bites until the cows come home and we can watch it on TV. I mean, you're right there, and all the media's there, all the cameras are on those guys. Tell me, how did you think Altuve and Bregman came out of this today?
Oh, it looked really bad reading from a piece of paper. I think if they were going to bring them out there to do that, they should have just let them speak from the heart. When Bregman got up and spoke, the wind, it's really windy out here. So he gets up to speak, and the wind blows his piece of paper right off the podium. So I thought that was kind of funny. Somebody had to go grab it for him. But, you know, Bregman's a good talker, so he was able to kind of figure out whatever his orchestrated response or apology was supposed to be. I was actually on the plane with Jose Altuve on the way here yesterday, funny enough, and he was trying to hide his face. He didn't want to be seen, which you could understand, obviously. He's trying to get to the ballpark at that point from the airport. But the part at the podium, I almost wish that they didn't even bring the players out to do that, especially since they were going to be made available in the locker room just moments later, because it did not seem as sincere as it did once we got them in the locker room. They seemed a lot more forthcoming, even though they did not offer as many details about how this actually worked. I mean, we know about the trash cans banging and deciphering or decoding the signs and things like that, but exactly how it worked and who was down there doing it and all that kind of thing, they didn't get into those kind of details. But you did get a more, I felt like, more authentic sense for them once you got into the locker room.
Brandon Scott, Sports Radio 610 in Houston, nice enough to join us from down in Florida. He attended the Astro press conference today, and by all accounts, did not go all that well for the Houston franchise. Let me ask you this about Dusty Baker. I'm a big Dusty Baker fan. I don't think they could have hired a better man to try to, you know, get this thing kind of under control a little bit. What did Dusty have to say today?
You know, Dusty's smooth. You know, Dusty has never. I don't feel like Dusty's ever lost a room. And so, you know, and we've had an opportunity to talk to Dusty already with his introductory press conference, and when General Manager James Click was hired just recently, we were able to speak to him again. And so, quite honestly, a lot of people, at least I'll speak for local media, we weren't really all that interested in hearing from Dusty Baker as it related to this. I know he was asked about Carlos Beltran, someone that he knows personally, and obviously Jim Crane as well. They were asked about him, and they expressed some disappointment. But, you know, his point was, we're all prone to make mistakes. We're all susceptible to make mistakes, even colossal ones at times. And Dusty, in a way that few people other than Dusty can do, is very much the calming voice around here right now. But the fact of the matter is, he doesn't have anything to do with this. So he's not really the person that we really want answers from until we start talking about baseball again.
Hey, Brandon, last question I have. I mean, you're going to cover this team morning, noon, or night once the season gets underway, and you're already down in Florida right now covering them. Did the Astros talk at all about, hey, we're answering questions today, and after that it's all about baseball? Do you think people are going to continue to kind of pick away at them throughout the course of the year?
Yeah, so that wasn't expressly stated, but you can tell that that was the sentiment based off of how they spoke. There was a second locker room availability later on in the day that was, we'll just call it, lightly attended. And so you got the sense that they didn't want to do this again, certainly not today. But if they think that the questions are going to stop, they are unfortunately very, very wrong about that. Whether it's local media, national media, we just articulated earlier how big of a story this is, both locally and nationally. So, I did get the sense they wanted to address this, get it out of the way, and focus on baseball. And I don't blame them for that. If I was in their position, I would feel the same way. But the rest of us still got questions.
Hey, Brandon, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time, and we'll look forward to checking back in with you at some point.
Oh, man, I look forward to it. Thank you.
Great stuff right there. What a great interview, and a guy that was right there. I mean, he was right there today, Braden, listening to this. And here's a guy that covers them, and he basically said, hey, it didn't come across very good at all.
Yeah, even for the local affiliate there in Houston, it was a really good insight right there.
Well, thanks again to Brandon Scott, Sports Radio 610 in Houston, for joining us. And hey, by the way, did you swing and miss last year on Valentine's Day? I've been telling you guys, you don't want to screw this up. Don't worry, San Diego's number one sports station is here to help. Go to 973thefansd.com for your chance to win one of three romantic Las Vegas trips to take her to see Barry Manilow at the Westgate Las Vegas. Enjoy a two-night stay along with VIP tickets to a show, a Serenity Spa experience, and dinner at the Edge Steakhouse. Go to 973thefansd.com and click on our contest page to win from 97.3 The Fan. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, are you a boxing fan? Brian Campbell, CBS Sports, will join me. We'll talk about the big fight tomorrow night at the Honda Center between two guys looking to really get after it tomorrow night, Ryan Garcia and Francisco Fonseca. We'll get the breakdown on that bout next right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Going to the top of the hour, Coach John Quintero, thanks so much for joining us. And a reminder, tomorrow we'll have our kickoff with A.J. Cassavell, our 97.3 The Fan Padre Insider. He'll join us at 1:35. And also a special guest tomorrow, Clint Bowyer, NASCAR driver getting ready for Daytona. He's going to join us live from Daytona as well. And also want to remind everyone, take every journey to the next level during the Your Own Adventure sales event happening now until March 31st. Visit San Diego County Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport Land Rover. Above and beyond, and we thank them for their sponsorship of the program. Well, I'm all fired up about this fight. We were giving away tickets to this fight last week, and they're going to go at it tomorrow night at the Honda Center. It'll be Ryan Garcia, 19-0, 16 knockouts, going against 25-year-old Francisco Fonseca, 25-2-2, and a man that's going to break it down from CBS Sports, boxing analyst and a writer for CBS Sports. One, Brian Campbell joins us on our SDCCU fan hotline. Brian, welcome. How are you?
No, fired up as always, Coach. We're talking fights. Let's do this thing.
Hey, they got eight events on this card tomorrow night. That's a good Valentine's Day boxing get-together.
Depending on your relationship, to be honest. You know, that would be a deal-breaker in my household, but that's all I'll say.
Yeah, we were giving away tickets last week, and a guy won the tickets. I go, who are you going to take? He goes, well, I'm going to take my girlfriend. I go, you better run that by her on Valentine's Day.
You better have flowers with that.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, let's talk a little bit about this fight and maybe any of the other fights on the card tomorrow night that tickle your fancy. But this Ryan Garcia is really starting to make a name for himself.
He is one of the most fun young prospects to watch in the sport of boxing because he's sort of got the movie star looks pretty boy vibe going. He wouldn't be the first fighter. We've seen it before with his promoter, Oscar De La Hoya, of course. We're currently seeing it with his stablemate, a guy who shares a trainer with him, Canelo Alvarez, who's obviously the biggest star in the sport at the moment. When you get these good-looking guys who come up early, they get sometimes protected by promoters. They can get a reputation of being more pretty than tough, and it's something that each of them have had to prove in the ring. And Ryan Garcia is essentially getting called out by every single big-name fighter in and around his division with really the feel like he might be prey for them. But the deal is, so far, 21 years old, unbeaten, like you mentioned, has dazzling quick hand speed. And having had a chance to interview him a bunch of times, you really get the feeling like he's ready for this platform that he has. And what does that mean? He's not only on the verge rising as a potential lightweight star, as he would move up in weight, eventually probably a welterweight star, but he's got 4.8 million Instagram followers. And this is a guy who, from the very beginning, right out of high school, seemed to understand how to put himself out there, how to gain attention, how to build a following through social media that is way bigger than the following that very, you know, that pretty much any other fighter in boxing has, save for the very few at the very top. So this is a guy that has a fight style. He goes after it. And ever since he changed trainers a couple fights ago, now has Eddie Reynoso in his corner, the same trainer, of course, of middleweight champion Canelo Alvarez. He seems to be more ready for the type of step-up competition like he will face on Friday night against Francisco Fonseca.
We're visiting with Brian Campbell from CBS Sports, our guest here on our SDCCU fan hotline. Brian, you know, you've been around the game for a long time, and you study the game on a daily basis. You got all your different venues that I'm going to have you promote here before I let you get out of here today, because I know our fans that, you know, love the sweet science and MMA. They want to know everything that you and your partner have to offer. Have they done a good job to this point bringing him along, not overmatching him against fighters?
They have. They've been very responsible to that point. We've seen him in various kinds of step-up fights that are meant to sort of challenge him, you know, without exposing him. He's passed each test along the way. One thing is, look, he's got dazzling hand speed, and that can lead to power. He's an excellent combination puncher. In his last bout, he was the co-main event for Canelo Alvarez's moving up in weight to try to win the light heavyweight title. And Ryan Garcia delivered a first-round knockout of Romero Duno and looked spectacular in doing so. There's a couple things when you have a prospect at this point that you can't really prove until you have to prove it. Things like, do you have a major league chin? Can you go the distance in a fight that you're losing and sort of have a plan B and C? That's what makes Friday night's opponent in Fonseca a tough one, a durable guy, only two losses in his career. Both have come in the big leagues in title bouts to Tevin Farmer and Gervonta Davis. He fought in the co-main event of that Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor fight a couple of years back, so he's been to this level before. This is going to be that kind of test where Ryan Garcia is going to come out, the girls will be in attendance, he always draws a large female crowd. they're going to be looking for that early knockout. But if Fonseca can be durable enough, we're going to be able to see what happens when Ryan Garcia has to make those adjustments. That's one of the calling cards of seeing a guy step up to this level. Can he do that? Now, you want to know what's at stake in this fight. It's not just taking one step closer to his first title shot at 135 pounds. Ryan Garcia's promoter, the great Oscar De La Hoya, has been calling out Gervonta Tank Davis left and right. He's sort of, I guess, if you want to give an equivalent, the Mike Tyson of the smaller weight classes. He just moved up to lightweight. He holds the title. He's promoted by Floyd Mayweather. We all know Oscar De La Hoya and Floyd Mayweather don't get along. Oscar said, hey, let's do a rematch, but instead of us fighting, we'll have Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis fight each other. That could be one of the bigger fights this calendar year if they can make it at the end. Tank Davis has responded to Ryan Garcia on social media and said, look, let's do it. A lot of excitement for the future for Rye Guy, King Rye, as he calls himself, trying to prove, like I mentioned, that he's not just another pretty face, but that he can get in there and fight.
We're joined by Brian Campbell, a CBS Sports boxing analyst, boxing writer, does a variety of things on podcasts that we're going to tell you about here in just a couple of minutes. His last fight, Ryan Garcia, I believe was in November, and he knocked out his opponent in the first round. He's got 16 knockouts and 19 pro fights and that perfect 19-0 record. How far does he actually go? How many rounds has he ever gone in a pro fight?
He's been slowly making that move up and going up to the 8 and 10 round distance. He's ready. He's just like one or two fights away from really going the full 12, the championship distance, and stepping up. 2020 is going to be a very big year for Ryan Garcia. They want to move him quickly. Oscar De La Hoya's promoter has talked publicly about that. They just see the talent oozing out of him. Like I mentioned, there's no shortage of big name opponents in and around this weight class that are looking out for him. The only really suspect thing about him on the way up is maybe he didn't have the same level of defensive responsibility that you would want. Like I mentioned, getting a new trainer, getting a trainer who teaches and preaches defense has really helped him make his game more well-rounded. He'll probably always be the underdog when he finally steps up to that super, super elite level, but the skills are there. But for a prospect at this point at 21 years old, you want to know that the mentality is there, and I think I've seen that so far from Ryan Garcia. This is a fun, interesting card here that's going to be on. I want to give you one name, Coach, to think about in this undercard that you can't miss. A welterweight by the name of Blair the Flair Cobbs. I don't know if you're a pro wrestling fan, but this guy comes out to Stone Cold Steve Austin's music. He's got the Ric Flair mannerisms on down. This guy is a must-see attraction. He's a fun brawler, and he gets it, so to speak, from the entertainment value.
That'd be great. Hey, I want to go back, and one final thing on the Garcia-Fonseca fight. Tell me, if you're the trainer for Ryan Garcia coming out of the blue corner and Fonseca, you're the trainer coming out of the red corner, what's the strategy these two fighters are going to try to impose on one another tomorrow night?
The key for Garcia is not to do too much too soon. He wants this to be a statement fight. You know, I mentioned he's trying to get Gervonta Tank Davis into the ring, one of boxing's rising stars, his Floyd Mayweather behind him, promoting him. You want to get the kind of showcase knockout, but you can't force it because Fonseca is the kind of veteran who's been through the wars before, a veteran of going 12 rounds. He can drag you there. So for Garcia, it's work off of that very quick jab. Yes, you want to set up your combinations, but you don't want to get into a situation too early if you don't have your opponent hurt where you start emptying that tank and you get into trouble. And for Fonseca, he's going to have a height and speed disadvantage in this. So if you're in his corner, you're just trying to look to do anything to slow down and frustrate the younger fighter. You want to clinch, you want to corner him, you want to be a little bit dirty on the inside. Anything you can do to smother him and offset that reach, that speed, that power. I'll tell you one thing. You like flashy combinations, Ryan Garcia delivers that. And I'm sure, knowing his personality, he's going to come in there looking for that early KO.
Hey, Brian, last thing I got for you before I want you to tell everyone out here on the West Coast about everything you got going on social media, on the Internet, because I know you and your partner are getting a lot of stuff done, and they can read your articles on CBS Sports. But I got to get, and I know it's a little over a week away, but it's going to be maybe the fight of the year, February 22nd over in Vegas. You got Deontay Wilder going against Tyson Fury, and Wilder right now holding the WBC heavyweight championship in that division. From what you know, what you've seen, what do you think of that one?
Oh, this fight is so intriguing. If anyone doesn't remember that December 2018's first meeting, it was a modern classic. Fury outboxed Wilder for about 9 of those 12 rounds. but he got dropped twice, including on a vicious two-punch combination in the 12th round, in which everyone in the building, including me, including Deontay Wilder, thought that Fury was done. Fury rose like the Undertaker. It ended in a disputed draw. So what we have a little bit more than a year later is that WBC title on one side and Fury's lineal championship on the other. He's the guy who originally beat Vladimir Klitschko 5 years ago to win the three championships. He's the guy who beat the guy in that lineage. And what you have here is offense against defense, pure boxer in the 6'9" Fury with quickness and long arms, freak-like athleticism against Wilder, who's 6'7", and they're saying just might be the most dangerous puncher in the history of the heavyweight division. And what makes this rematch intriguing, Coach, is this. Everyone thought Fury won that first fight. He settled for a disputed draw. It was very controversial. He has vowed to take the judges out of it. Even though he's 6'9", he's not known as a power puncher, but 2 months ago he switched trainers. He's now being trained by Sugar Hill Stewart, the nephew of the late, great Emmanuel Stewart, and he's going in there to try and knock out Deontay Wilder. He said it a million times. He said it on today's conference call. I'm not kidding. I'm not letting the judges ruin it again. I'm going in there to knock him out. That kind of theater potential is through the roof. He's basically saying there's a man out there with the biggest weapon in the history of this sport with that right hand that Deontay Wilder has, and the only way to take it from him is to knock him out. You got to be tuned in to see that next Saturday.
Hey, Brian, as I let you get out of here, tell everyone everything you got to offer, because I know you guys got your great podcast going all the time.
Yeah, every Monday at 12 Eastern on Showtime's Facebook and YouTube channels. You can catch our Morning Combat. It's basically your Monday morning water cooler topic show in MMA and boxing. Luke Thomas, a noted journalist, and myself, we help you with all the angles, all the reactions, no punches pulled. We have a lot of fun doing it, too. And really, you want to start your week. You want to find out what happened over the weekend and what's going to happen next in the sports of mixed martial arts and boxing. Morning Combat every Monday, 12 Eastern on YouTube. You got to be there for that. Also, I host on CBS Sports Weekly, the State of Combat podcast. Hall of Famer, UFC former champion, Sugar Rashad Evans is my co-host. Definitely want to be checking that out.
Great, Brian. Enjoy the fights, and I'm glad you're going to not screw up Valentine's Day.
I know better by this point, Coach. I appreciate it.
Yeah, me and you both. Hey, we'll do it again soon, my friend. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
There you go. Brian Campbell breaking down tomorrow night's big fight at the Honda Center. Ryan Garcia going against Francisco Fonseca. And we'll look into that Fury-Wilder fight a little bit more next week as we get a little bit closer. That'll be on February 22nd. And again, all of our guests on our show come via the San Diego County Credit Union. They have low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, give them a call at SDCCU4U or visit SDCCU.com. Also, I want to remind everyone, all this week, a chance to win tickets to the Rolling Stones No Filter Tour stop at SDCCU Stadium on Friday, May 8th. You have two chances to win on the Fan, one in the morning with Ben and Woods beginning at 5 a.m. and again as you drive home beginning at 3 p.m. with Gwen and Chris. Get tickets to go see the Rolling Stones at Ticketmaster.com or win them at 97.3 The Fan. Also, I want to remind everyone, Ben and Woods are going to be going out on the road once again. They're going to tape their podcast, and they're inviting everyone out there to join them from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Hooley's Public House at Grossmont Center in El Cajon. You can stop by and have lunch while guys tape Ben and Woods' podcast and sign up to win a Valentine's Day trip to Las Vegas from your friends at 97.3 The Fan. I got to ask you, Braden, because they don't have it on here, when are they actually going out there?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. They'll be out there at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. tomorrow, so they're going to go out there and have a little lunch out there and do their podcast.
Yeah, it's a fun time at Hooley's.
Okay, great. Hey, let's get to our today's Hang a Star Play of the Day, and I think Mr. Gwynn will like this one.
What play separated the winners from the losers? It's time for the Hang a Star Play of the Day.
You can hang a star on that, baby!
A 97.3 The Fan.
Here's LeBron dribbling top of the key. Goes through Dwight Howard. Howard hands the ball to KCP on a curl. Throws it back to Anthony Davis. Left corner, LeBron. 10 seconds to shoot. LeBron and AD running a pick and roll. Jeremy Grant on LeBron with 5 to shoot. LeBron drives inside, got it to Davis, 3-pointer by AD. Good again! Anthony Davis with 2 overtime threes. Put the Lakers up 119-116.
That was the Hangin' Star play of the day on the John Cantara Show on 97.3 The Fan.
And again, the Lakers went on to win that ball game last night in overtime, 120 to 116. They get to the All-Star break at 41-12. And again, the best record on the road this year at 23-5. And as Tony Gwynn Jr. Comes into studio, we'll chest bump with one another because I think we're both very excited about the way the Lakers have played.
Yes, we are. That's the perfect way to go into a break, a win against Denver.
That was a hell of a game last night.
There's been a lot of conversation about the Lakers, especially from pundits out there. Lakers, they haven't played anybody good, and they get a good win and on the road in Denver, tough place to play. It was a good victory for them.
You know what I'm anxious to see is when Giannis and Milwaukee come. The Lakers played them, but they were on the last game of a five-game road trip.
Yep.
And, they just didn't have it that night. And, I want to see them, play them at full strength and be a fresh ball club.
I want to see them play at full strength. They need to start giving Crew some more minutes, man. I like the kid, man.
You like the headband.
The headband is covering up that mess he has on top of his head, so I get that. But I think the Lakers will be fresher when they get a chance at Milwaukee the next time. But like I said, it's the perfect way to go into break. I'm looking forward to the All-Star weekend, too.
Yeah, what's your favorite? But mine's the three-point shooting contest. The dunk contest, I'm kind of over that, but I am excited to see Dwight Howard.
I am. I'm excited because he's in it, but probably the three-point contest is my favorite. I enjoy the skills competition, too. I like that.
Hey, you like to throw the ball in that thing?
It's a lot harder than everybody thinks it is.
Some guys make it look real hard.
Right. Yeah, the bounce pass, the chest pass. I like it, though.
You got a big game tonight. And really, if you're a Laker fan, you're going to pay attention to that game tonight because you've got at TD Garden, you got the Clippers taking on Boston.
And that's right.
Clippers right now, they've not been a good road team. Load management or not, they've not been a good road team.
Yeah, I was listening. I was reading Eddie Johnson's tweet, Phoenix Suns broadcast. He's saying everybody keeps talking about the Clippers load manager. They are a bad road team, and they are. Lakers are a much better road team, but everybody seems to like the Clippers, though, in the long run. We'll see.
I think, and I brought this up to Braden earlier, I think the Lakers are going to be, even though LeBron it's going to be big for him, the guy never gets a break. I mean, he is the NBA, okay? Yeah. I don't care what anybody says. He is the NBA. Anthony Davis is going back to his hometown. He's going to get pulled in a variety of different directions. Dwight Howard will be there. I don't know if he'll even stay for the game. He'll definitely be there on Saturday night. You got Frank Vogel and company there.
It's a long weekend.
But
long week.
I got to believe a lot of the other players, they're excited about having a break after everything they've been through the last few weeks.
I think LeBron actually mentioned it the other day in one of his interviews, saying that, I know guys are eyeing that All-Star break, but we got to take care of business. They were able to do that. Now everybody can put their feet up, at least everybody, if your name is not LeBron James, everybody else can put their feet up and enjoy.
Is LeBron better than Jordan?
I don't think so.
You don't?
I don't.
You know why I do?
Why?
Because I think he makes players on his team better. I don't know if Jordan ever made players on his team better.
I don't know. I think he did. I think they just did it in different ways. I think LeBron's is easier to notice because he is a guy who gets rid of the ball, and he's a willing passer, and that's what his preference is to do.
Leading the league in assists right
no
now.
No doubt. But in Jordan's case, to be able to do that as a scorer, I mean, there's a reason why the Kerrs are we know those names, and Paxton, we know those names because he gave up the ball in times that mattered. So I think he elevated it just in a different way. Those guys' confidence was probably just as high
as
the Laker
guys. I'll put it this way. I don't think players enjoyed playing with Jordan as much as enjoy playing with LeBron.
That's true. There's no doubt about that. I mean, who wouldn't want to play with a guy who's that big and loves to see you have success? Everybody want to play with guys.
I know we only got about 30 seconds before I got to sign off and turn the airwaves over to you and Chris. What do you guys got coming up? I'm sure you're going to be talking about this Astros situation.
Yeah, this debacle of an apology they had.
They still couldn't get it right.
They've been practicing for weeks.
It was
so bad. For weeks, and they couldn't get it right. Yeah, we got Katie Wu. She's going to MILB.com. She's going to come and give us a little Taylor Trammell highlight.
Oh, good.
We got Mike Meltzer on, for host of ESPN Radio and Mad Dog Radio. He'll come on a little bit later, too. Chris versus the Fan. Little pop quiz at the end of the show. Plus, we got the Rolling Stones giveaways going still.
Oh, that's great. For Braden Suprenant, for Adam Klug, for Mr. Gwynn, he'll be joining with Chris Ello shortly. Coach Jack and Terry, I'll be back in tomorrow at 12 right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Bye-bye.
While you're taking a break from sports, KSON is putting you on the road to Stagecoach 8 times every weekday, thanks to your San Diego County Toyota dealers and Cox Communications. Ready for 3 days of live country music in the desert? Sign up now at KSON.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.